So a pleasure once again to welcome everyone to our legal holidays Shear series. It seems like just last week we were sitting here in the same places, also enjoying Divrei Torah on a day on which the rest of the world is engaged in other pursuits. And it's wonderful to be able to come back and hear part two of the exciting Shear series which we started last week. Just before we get to introducing our speaker, I want to thank Rabbi Adams and Rabbi Erps for helping out with the setup today. It's very, very much appreciated. We had the opportunity last week to hear from Rabbi Daniel Rapp on the first part of issues that are, quote-unquote, from the other side, things that are a little more esoteric, a little bit more spiritual. Last week we heard about Gilgulim, the concept of reincarnation. This week, once again tied into the Parshas HaShavua, we'll hear a little bit about the concept of Shadim, of demons. And it's a pleasure at this time to introduce Rabbi Rapp.
Thank you, Rabbi Rapp. Okay. Here we are a week later, same place. Hopefully different bagels. Hopefully. The parsha this week gets a little bit exciting. We get into one of the highlights of the Torah, for those of us who have highlights, and that is the Makos, the 10 plagues begin. What people sometimes don't notice is that even though Moshe Rabbeinu is doing a fine job with the Makos, he has God on his side, which is always helpful, but for a while, at least through the first few, the Chartumei Mitzrayim, the wizards from Egypt, are actually keeping up with him. Before the Makos start, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he turns his staff into a snake. The wizards of Mitzrayim also do it, and they don't have God on his side. Right? He can turn the water into blood, they can turn the water into blood. He can do the frogs, they can do the frogs. Everybody likes the frogs. Right? It's unbelievable how for a while, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu shows up and he has this supernatural power given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is able, using this power, to do several miracles. However, the Chartumei Mitzrayim, who do not have God on their side, as far as we know, are doing the same miracles. How could it be? So Rashi comments that there are two different comments very close to each other. You have to be very careful with the Baal Kore with this. It says, Vayasu Chartumei Mitzrayim gam hem velatehem. And sometimes it says, velatehem. Without an A, and sometimes it says, velatehem. With a, what's the difference? What's velatehem? What's velatehem? So Rashi comments that one of them is Maisa Kishuf, and the other is Maisa Shadim. That one situation is where they have kishuf, they have supernatural powers, they're magicians, they can do it. The other thing is that they don't have supernatural powers, however they have the ability to use the shadim. That they somehow can have the shadim do their bidding. What are shadim? We use this word. So shadim are some sorts of spirits, some sorts of demons. There are these things out there that Rashi clearly assumes exist. He says, in these things, if somebody has an ability to connect with this supernatural, spiritual power, you know, they can do great magic tricks with it. It's interesting. We generally don't see these things. We don't know from these things. Us, modern man, doesn't really recognize this. It's interesting. Put in perspective, I remember a few years ago, I was riding on a train. All the best stories happened on the subway. So I'm riding on the subway and a missionary comes on. This was about the worst missionary I'd ever seen. This guy was just terrible. Like, give me 5 minutes, this guy, he would have been wearing tefillin. And I'm not very talented at this. This guy was no good whatsoever. So the guy who's sitting next to me, who was, let's just say, not Jewish, turns to me and says, you know, spirits, I don't believe any of this stuff. You believe this? I said, no, I don't really believe it. He said, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. So I turned to him and I said, yeah, I'm with you. You know, I don't believe in radio waves. Because if I can't see it, I don't believe it. There was absolute silence from this guy for the rest of the train ride. So, yeah, we can't see it. Doesn't mean that it's not out there. So Rashi says there are these things called shadim. and the Chartumei Mitzrayim had the ability to somehow get in touch with the Yishevim and have the Yishevim do their bidding. And for the first two Makos and for the several Osos that came beforehand, the signs, they were able to keep up with Moshe Rabbeinu. Only when we hit Kedem did they start having a problem. Rashi, it's interesting, Rashi repeatedly throughout his parish on the Chumash talks about Shadim, and we just accept it. I think most notably is in Parshas Noach. It says that Noach gathered all the animals, Mikol HaChai, Mikol Basar. So all the living things, all the things that have flesh. So Rashi indicates why, what's the difference between living things? What's there's been Chai and Kol Basar? He said, Mikol HaChai, those are the types of creatures that do not have flesh, that's referring to the Shadim. The Noah, before he got everyone on, so he had to get everybody on the table. Right? He had to get the giraffes, he had to get the elephants, he had to get rhinoceros, he had to get them all together. But besides that, he also had to collect all the Shadim. A sample of Shadim had to get on as well. So Rashi repeatedly assumes that there's something out there called Shadim, and he uses it in his parish on Chumash repeatedly to explain different things. What do we know about the Shadim thing? So the Gemara in Chagiga talks about it and said Shadim are a little bit like man, they're a little bit like angels. In fact, they have three aspects which are like human beings and three aspects that are like angels. How are they like angels? They have wings. Note. What? Two, they can go fly from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And also they know the future. The Gemara says they know the future? They don't really know the future. But since they have an ability to go, what's called the Achore Hapargo, they can go up to heaven and to hear what's going on behind the curtain. So therefore, they have the ability to know what's going to happen shortly thereafter. And in those ways, they're like angels. However, much like people, they eat, they procreate, and they die. So you have these aspects that they're half man, half angel. It's interesting because the Mefarshim used this to explain what's the difference between Maisa Kishuv and Maisa Shadim. When I used to read this Rashi, where Rashi says that sometimes they use Kishuv, sometimes they use Shadim, I was always very comfortable. I don't understand one, I don't understand the other. You tell me they're different, I'll take your word for it. I don't really know the difference. So the Mefarshim say, no, there's an important difference. So for example, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take his staff, he's going to turn it into a snake. Rawr. There's two ways this could happen. One way it could happen is through Kishuv. What's Kishuv? Literally, it turns into a snake. Magically. Maaseh Shadim is not like that. Shadim begin to have this tremendous speed. The Shadim are able to grab the stick and bring a snake from someplace else so quickly, into our eyes it just changed. So that's the idea. Because they have this tremendous speed, they have the ability. Maaseh Shadim means they're not actually doing the magic, but their hands are a lot quicker than our eyes. And therefore, it's a form of sleight of hand that you can do with that. Why can't they do that with Kinnam? I'm not sure. But that's what the standard understanding is. So, the Ramban goes on to explain how is it that they can do this. He explains that there are four basic materials. Of the four basic materials, the Shadim were made out of wind and fire. Wind and fire are very light. Therefore, they had the ability to move that quickly and go so fast. On the other hand, since they're made of two different materials, anything that's made of multiple materials eventually will have to die. Ramban al-Torah explains the Shadim. A lot of interesting things are said about these Shadim. For example, the Chizkuni and the Pasuk of Shema says, why is the Ayin of Shema so big? It's because it indicates that there is only one Yisrael. As Matthew saw, there are 70 times as many nations, right? There are 70 umos olam. And there are 70 times more animals, behemoths, than there are people. And there are 70 times more birds than there are animals. And there are 70 times more fish than there are birds. And there are 70 times more shadim than there are fish. And there are 70 times more malachim than there are shadim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one God on all of it. You say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad, there's a big ayin to show, look how much is out there. Now, let's do the math. How many times more shadim are there than people? Right? So times 70 for the animals, times another 70 for the birds, that's 4,900. Another 70 for the fish. 7 cubed, didn't we? 343 with three zeros we're up to now. Multiply that by another 70, we're up to a lot. I think that's the official number at this point. Right? So again, it would seem that there's over 2 million times more shadim than there are people. That's a lot. So, there are these shadim according to the expanded Rishonim. They're all over the place. And even they're all over the place. We can see them and they have these abilities. Very interesting. Why shadim? Why did Akash Baruch Hu? How did Akash Baruch Hu make the shadim? There are different opinions with that as well. There's a very interesting medrash which relates to today. The medrash comments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Friday he was busy, he had work to do, he made animals, he made man, he was in the middle of making shadim, and the alarm went off for a Shabbos time. So therefore shadim are half-baked. That's why there's only made out two of them. And why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep shadim? Because we should see that if someone's working on Erev Shabbos and Shabbos comes, no matter what, you should stop your work right away. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself stopped the work on the Shadim, and that's why they're half baked. That's the opinion of the Medrash. So therefore, the Shadim were made Bein Hashmashos. I believe that's on the list in Avos. And they came out the way they did because HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran a little bit low on time. Kivayachol. That's one opinion. Look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Dor HaFlogah, the generation of Migdal Bavel, that generation had different types of people who were doing it for different reasons, and therefore based on the reason you were doing it, you got a different punishment. So some of the people that were doing it for the very wrong reasons, Akash Baruch Hu turned them into Shadim. That's another opinion. Where the Shadim come from? The Shadim come from the Dor HaFlogah, from the people from Migdal Bavel. That's another possibility. Similarly, a somewhat famous Rashi, quoting the Medrash as well, says that Adam HaRishon, the first day he was married, he already had two kids. He had Kayin and Hevel. Didn't work out great. One out of two ain't bad. That is 500 on that one. He has another kid. Then, 130 years later, it says that Adam was Noah, did Muso, Katsalmo. He gives birth to another child just like him. It's going to have Chase. The Rashi comments, why does it say even Drusel with Salmo? He said, because he was having kids for the 130 years in between, until he had one that was like him. So what was he having for the last 130 years? He gave birth to Shadim. So the idea is that Adam HaRishon, after the Chet of Kayin Ve'Hevel, that is when he was making the Shadim. Different opinions as to where the Shadim came from, what they're like. All very nice, but how does it affect me? So, it does affect us. The Gemara talks about practical ramifications that we have about Shadim. What does Gemara talk about? So the Gemara talks about Lahalacha, about being Sholol B'Shadim. That the Gemara tells us that a person should not be Sholol B'Shadim on Shabbos. Why would people be shol b'shadim? People be shol b'shadim for the following reason. The shadim being that there are a lot of them and they get around, they have information. So if a person wants, a person could go to the shadim and find out where did my missing object go. So it says on Shabbos you're not allowed to do that. Right? Can't do that on Shabbos. The Gemara says, and you're allowed to do it during the week? So there's another opinion that says you're not allowed to do it during the week. The Gemara then says that the halacha, this is a little bit odd, in parentheses have the word ein. Either it says halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda or ein halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda. It's a little bit of a difference. It's unclear in the Shulchan Aruch whether you're allowed to be shol b'shedim during the week or not. So it would seem from this that in fact we accept 100% undoubtedly that there's something called Shadim, and these Shadim have certain powers. And halachically there's a question as to whether we accept it or not. The Meiri, in explaining that Gemara in Sanhedrin, has a totally different pshat. It goes totally off. What does the Meiri say? The Meiri says that what's the Gemara talking about? What's Shoal and B'Shedim? It's not really what you think it is. It's talking about a snake charmer. Snake charmer? Said, yeah, if there's a snake that's coming after me, can I start playing my instrument and get the snake to stop? So it's a question of tzad, whether you're allowed to catch an animal or not. So what's going on? So the Gemara is telling us that on Shabbos, you know, you shouldn't do that. Since it's a form of tzad, you shouldn't try to, even though you're not literally grabbing the animal, like playing a tune that will get the animal to stay where it is, that's also a form of tzad. The Gemara then says, this form of stopping the animals, is there anything wrong with it? You're not to do that during the week? So that's a machlokas. Then he says, and the same halacha applies for many other things. So the same thing would apply to for talking to Shadim for those people who believe in Shadim. So that's a very strange. Able, for those people who believe that there's such a thing called Shadim, these halachas apply to them as well. Similarly, in other cases, whenever the Meiri talks about Shadim, he only talks about it for those people who believe that there's such a thing as Shadim. This is what the halacha is. So you got to sit there and wonder, what's the Meiri thinking? What's the Meiri not telling us? There's got to be something in there. So finally, when Pesachim comes along, the Meiri breaks down. He can't hold out anymore. So there's an interesting Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim talks about the fact that we drink 4 cups of wine on Pesach at the Seder. Right? The arbakosis. The Gemara says, how can you have arbakosis? It's dangerous. It's dangerous, buddy. Concerned that the guy's going to go to Hasidus Yeshiva, say it's Arba cases. Got to drink 4 cases of wine, I'll get it. What's the danger? That's what I would have thought it would be. But no, that's not it. Rather, what's their concern? Their concern is zugos. There's a tradition that you can't do things in packs of two. Zugos, very dangerous. I remember when there was in Rabbi Shechter's year, there was this nudnik. He used to sit and ask questions unrelated to anything. So this guy used to go, before she even started, he raised his hand, he said, I've got 2 questions. So Rabbi Shechter said, sorry, Zugos, can't answer it, next. And he just ignored the guy. And then he raises his hand, he says, I have a 3rd question now. What's wrong with Zugos? The doctor, what's wrong with Zugos? So the Gemara tells us that really there's something wrong with Zugos. And it would seem from the Gemara in Pesachim that there's a problem with doing things in pairs. And now, so therefore, how are you allowed to do the Arba Kosos, which is just 2 pairs of 2? So the Gemara tells us because it's Leil Shimurim. And we know that the Seder night is a night that it's a special night. We don't have to worry, we're Meshumim and Mazikim, that we don't have to worry about the Mazikim. And therefore, there are a lot of halachas. For example, if the Seder night falls out on a Friday night, we don't say Bogan Avos. A lot of people don't say Shema or Hamapil, maybe even on the Seder night. People leave their doors unlocked on the Seder night to say Leil Shimurim. So therefore, it's a Leil Shimurim. So usually, Taka would tell the Gemara, say, you're right, there's a problem with Zugos. However, being that this is the Seder night, we don't got to worry about Zugos. At this point, the Meiri loses it. The Meiri can't take it anymore. The Meiri says, this is all bogus. There's no Shadim, there's no Zugos, there's no Santa Claus, there's no Easter Bunny, there's none of this. I hope I'm not shocking anyone here. This is just Shitas Meiri, don't worry. Right? It's baloney, none of this is true. Forget it. What are you going to do with the Gemara? The Gemara says we don't do it because of Zugos. So the Meiri has this theory. The Meiri says, here's the story. There are certain things out there in the world that are avodah zarah. They're kishur. They're awesome. There are certain things that are idolatrous. We just don't do it. There definitely are those things. However, there are other things out there which aren't idolatrous. They're just silly. People believe things. It's not true. But hey, people can be wrong about many things. There are a lot of things people out there that are wrong. There are certain battles that are worth fighting and certain battles that aren't worth fighting. Right? So, in the event that there's a real Isser involved, the Chachamim put their foot down and say, that's not right. However, if everybody believes, right, in something, it's wrong, Chachamim aren't going to bother. Not only that, but they'll use it to their advantage. So therefore, everyone believes in Zugos. So the Gemara will say, so they'll say, I is Zugos. So rather than saying Zugos is baloney, the Gemara will say, don't worry, it's little Shimurim. I like to say this. Sometimes it's best to answer another person on their level. There was a story many years ago in yeshiva where a guy walks into yeshiva on Shabbos and he starts putting on tefillin. Shabbos, he's putting on tefillin. Dov Lifshitz was there and he walks over to the fellow and says, you're aware of the fact that Shabbos? He says, yeah. He says, no, we don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. Says, yeah. But you are. He said, yeah, because I had a dream last night and the Malach came to me and told me I should put tefillin on the Shabbos. So what did Rav David say? Rav David said to him, tell me, what language was the Malach speaking? So he says, Yiddish, of course. He said, Malachim only speak Hebrew. He must have been mistaken. He said, oh, okay. And the guy took off his tefillin and put it away. Sometimes it makes sense, instead of saying, Mr. Mashiach, sometimes it makes sense just to say to the guy, listen, Lashitascha, don't worry about it. Yes, obviously, if a Malach would have told you, but it seems in this case that we don't have to deal with it. So something that he says here, people believe in Zugos, people believe in Shadim. So what are you going to do about it? Right, so instead of sitting there and fighting this battle, there's more important battles to fight. So therefore the Gemara says, yeah, don't worry about it. But with my son, none of these things exist. That's why he always says, according to the people that believe it, all right, you know, then don't worry about it. But if anybody has a half a brain in their head, there ain't no such thing. There ain't no Shadim, there ain't no Zugos, there ain't no any of this. That's the opinion of the Meiri. And Tzachim, he finally spells it out. He can't take it anymore. The problem with the Meiri is that l'halacha, we assume he's wrong. Well, Marshall, the Gemara tells us in Gittin, let's say I'm walking by a pit. It's a deep pit, and I hear a voice from the pit. And the voice cries out, my name is Yankel Shmerel, I've fallen, I cannot get up, and therefore, I'm never going to get out of here, write a get for my wife so she shouldn't be in Aguna. So, Gemara says you can write it. Gemara says, I. How do we know it's him? Well, who else is going to be sitting in a pit? Maybe it's a shade. So the Gemara tries to explain. Well, you can see it. If you can see it, you can see whether it's him or not. That doesn't work. Well, you can see the shadow. And we know it. So the Gemara says, Shadim don't have shadows? No, more of a reflection. You can see his reflection. Yeah, Shadim, they have a reflection. They don't have a reflection of a reflection. The Gemara goes on to explain what it is. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskens this way. The Shulchan Aruch paskens the halacha in Eben Ezer that if somebody is walking by a pit, and he hears a voice calls out, and he says, "Sab get li ishti, write a get for my wife." You do it. However, if it's in a churba, if it's in ruins, if it's basode, if it's in the middle of a field, if it's in a place where we know that shade and mazikim are known to congregate, then we don't do it. We're a choshesh for this. You hear what that means? We walk by a ruins. We hear a guy's voice. He identifies himself, right? Well, you ask him all forms of claim. How do I know it's really used? What's your shoe size? What's your bank account number? What's your PIN for your ATM? Can I have your ATM? You go. We identify without any doubts. It's him. Right. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say now that the woman should remain in Aguna, never be allowed to remarry because of this concern of Shadim. If Shadim do not exist, if the Meiri is right, that's a very strong opinion to take. So it would seem from here that the Shulchan Aruch is saying very clearly, and this isn't just a matter of bedtime stories. This is a halacha l'maisa with very real ramifications where we are assuming that there is such a thing. Similarly, the Gemara in Makkos talks about...
Why don't we get him out of the pit?
What?
Why don't we try to get him out?
He's fallen and he cannot get it. He seems to be very deep in the pit. What?
Are you going to try? What does it say that?
What's up? What?
He's fallen and he can't get up.
I didn't mention the fire-breathing dragons that we got. Obviously. Anyway, he's not coming up. He's buried in a mine in Chile. Not coming out. So, similarly, you have a Gemara in Makkos. The Gemara in Makkos talks about the relationship between Edom and Hasra. So we know if somebody does a crime, so let's say someone's going to kill somebody. So in order to convict, I need two things. One is I need two kosher witnesses testifying that he did it. And we also need that he has to be warned that in the event that you do this action, you will receive this punishment. Does the same people have to do both? So the Gemara says, no, not at all. The Gemara says that in the event that a third party gives the Hasra, gives the warning, and these two Edom see it, that's good enough. Not only that, but even if the person himself gets up and says, I realize that with this action will cause me to be chayav misa, I will be liable for the death penalty, still, if two Edom see that, that's good enough. He can give himself the warning. Not only that, the Gemara says, if a shade comes, the demon says he gets, that's also good. This is quoted a halacha by the Rambam. But the Rambam leaves out the part with the shade. In fact, the Rambam has a very bad habit, or good habit, I don't know, depending on what you tell some, where he never talks about shadim. Throughout the Mishneh Torah, there are several times out there where the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, says that there's a concern here about shadim, and the Rambam either will ignore it, or he'll quote it with a different reason. For example, so a lot of people are familiar, you're not allowed to put food under your bed. Yerushalmi says, why not? Ruach ra, shadim, whatever, it's a bad thing, don't do it. The Rambam says, you shouldn't put food under your bed. You know why? If something could fall in, you won't see it. Maybe a snake will come. Don't drink and drive. Why not? You might spill. It can give different reasons for the same thing. So that's there. So he comes up with this idea, fascinating, that he says that there's different reasons for everything. The Rambam himself points out, but there's Yerushalmi. It says because of Ruach Ra. Rambam never discusses it. You've got to find the secret in the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Pirush HaMishnayos of Avodah Zarah, also the Rambam finally snaps. It says there ain't no such thing. No such thing. Period. People talk about it, people believe in it, people are fools. There is no such thing as Shadim. Aye, there are many Gemaras that seem to indicate that there are Shadim. So the Rambam, the Moreh Nevuchim, says that you have to understand how to read things. For example, we had quoted the Medrash earlier that talks about Adam HaRishon. That Adam HaRishon, for 130 years, is giving birth to Shadim. He said, what does it mean? He said, it means as follows, that there are different people in the world. And there are certain people out there that are fine human beings, and there are other people with what the Rambam calls Behema B'dumos Adam. The guy looks like a person, but really he's a Behema. Morally, ethically, this person is not worthy of being called a person. Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen has this excellent vort that he says. So the beginning of Bava Kama says there are Arba Ovos Nezikin. Shor, Bor, Mava. So the Gemara says, Mava Zu Adam. What's the word Mava? Mava means it's Adam HaMazik. So the Radi Achmanim asked, so if it's up, so call it Adam. Why did I make up another name for it? Shor I called the Shor, a Bor I called the Bor. Why are they called Adam HaMazik, a Mava? Call them Adam. So Rabbi Cohen famously says, because an Adam HaMazik, he's not an Adam. If somebody walks around breaking other people's stuff, that's not a person. He might physically have the characteristics and the attributes of a person, however, that's not a person. So it says that when Adam HaRishon was giving birth to Shadim, doesn't mean he was giving birth. No, it was Mazel Tov Chava, you've just given birth to a bouncing baby Shade. No, he gave birth to people that they weren't worth noting in the Chumash. They were not of that ability. They were not of the. Did not have the sterling reputation that one would expect. So too, whenever the Gemara, whenever the Midrashim talk about Shadim, the Rambam says it's all allegorical. It's a parable, it's referring to something, it's not what you think it means. So the Rambam, both in the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Moreh Nevuchim, flat out says that there's no such thing as Shadim, and the Mishnah Torah never says it, but then again, the omissions say it for him. He just totally rejects it. But once again, We know the general rule is that the Shulchan Aruch tends to paskin like the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch says that he has a rule. His rule is the two out of three rule, that there are three major Rishonim who are halach decisors, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. He follows two out of three. Now, of course, it's a little bit thick, because the Rambam, Rebbe, was the Rimagash. And the Rimagash's Rebbe was the Rif. So the Rif was the Rambam's grand Rebbe. So therefore, the Rif and the Rambam all tend to follow each other. And automatically, there you got two out of three. The fix is in. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tends to go, but as we see here, the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like the Rambam here. The Shulchan Aruch assumes, in cases that we've given, other cases as well. Right? The Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya says not to be shol b'shedim, but yeshom that's mutter for geneva. In the event that you have to crack a case, the Shulchan Aruch says, there are people that says if you can use the shedim, that's okay. Rama interestingly says that he wouldn't recommend it. A lot of people get involved with shedim, they don't have happy endings. So we would not recommend that you do it. However, there does seem to be an agreement between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama that there is such a thing. There's a lot of other Rishonim that talk about it. The Ar Zeruah mentions the fact that shedim follow Torah mitzvahs. So they ask them, the Ar Zeruah, it's in the Ar Zeruah. He says, isn't there that Gemara in Gittin where it says that there was a shade that threw Shlomo HaMelech out and slept with his wife? That's not right. So he says, yeah, listen, nobody's perfect. You know, we're Shlomo HaMelech, this is we all the one. They're also, hey, no one's got this. So they have that in their fact. There's a strange amount of, sometimes I'm just amazed, not so much by Shilas and Chumas, but by the fact that people discuss these things. The Chidah quotes Amaram Lublin, and there are other Chumas about this as well. If an Isha is nivel of a shade, if a woman is unfaithful to her husband with a shade, whether she can remain married to her husband. Doesn't matter what the answer is. It happens to be a machokes. What's amazing is that there is such a question. There's a fair amount of discussion about this. What's interesting, if you look at the more modern poskim, even this one, surprisingly, people start to turn away from this idea of the shedim. Already in the Yamsha Shlomo, the Marshal, it was really earlier Achronim, he writes that this man is that we don't have so many shedim. Right? Similarly, the Rav Holom is written by the Ben Ishchai. Most people have heard of the Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai was Yosef Baghdadi, who lived in Baghdad, as you might have guessed, in the beginning of the 20th century. And you can tell all the names, all Sfarim that he wrote, because he has a series of Sfarim, and they're all named after one pasuk. Right? He wrote the Ben Ishchai, Ben Yehoyada, the Kabsael, and Rav Polin. Because the pasuk says, Ben Yehoyada, Ben Ishchai, the Kabsael, Rav Polin. That they're all in one pasuk. Why does he write this? Because it seems that he believed that he was a Gilgal of the Benayo Ben Yehoyada. So therefore, he named all of his Svarim after his previous Gilgal. A little tie in to last week. So again, as a guy who's named Yosef Baghdadi, who believes that he's a Gilgal, one would assume that he's somewhat supportive of Shadim. You know, I don't mean to profile here, but this guy does seem to have what it takes to be on the side of we support them. Surprisingly, he's not. He says that it's not the case. We don't really have them anymore. So what happened? Where did they go? They all moved to Florida? Where it happened to all? Moved out to the suburbs. Never to five towns. What happens to the Shadim? I'm sure that people will accept the idea that they all moved to the five towns to Shadim. So what's Pshat? So Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emes Yaakov, and this is Parsha, has a very fascinating piece. It's a wonderful piece, I think. Where he says as follows. It's a very basic issue that you have to deal with. Take a step back. We know that man was put on this earth. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the world? We discussed this last week. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the world? Why do we keep the neshamas where they are? So the answer is Bechira. The whole reason we have the world is that we should put ourselves in a situation where we have Bechira Chafyas. We have free will. We have to make a decision on our own whether we're going to keep the Torah mitzvahs or we're not going to keep the Torah mitzvahs. And therefore, it is this idea of free will, of Bechira Chafyas, of paramount importance. at all points, a person should be in a situation where he's making a decision on his own. He's not being forced into doing good or bad. Rav Soloveitchik has a very similar idea to this. We'll start with that, which says as follows. Whatever happened to Tzaras? Tzaras gets two parshas out of it. A nice chunk of real estate there. And in the two part, and it just disappeared. And the answers that are given are wholly inadequate. We don't have Tzaras anymore. You know why? Because when you finish with Tzaras, then you have to bring a carbon. And we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. Okay, so you don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore? No problem. You're going to become a Mitzor and you're stuck. We still have Naziros nowadays. If a guy announces, I'm a Nazir, congratulations, you're a Nazir forever. You're in for it. The guy in my shoe did that. It's a good thing we have something called Hataras Nadarim, where he'd be in big trouble. So that's not an answer. Tzaras didn't go with the Karbanas. We don't have Kohanim nowadays. The Kohanim don't have a Mesorah how to check it. Fine. Guy should speak Lashon Hara. He should break out with a terrible rash. And we'll never call it Tzaras. But why does any of the answers explain why? The Torah tells us, you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to break out. Why doesn't it happen anymore? So Rav Soloveitchik says it's a historic reason. He said, for the longest time on earth, everybody recognized that there was a God. The question is, who is God? Is God HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is God the Son? Is God Ralph the Lettucehead? Who is God? But everyone recognized that there was a God. And therefore, the big Yetzer was Avodah Zarah. And it got to a point in history where Avodah Zarah, the Yetzer, became too strong. And the Gemara tells us the Anshei Knesset Gedolah had to step in and do something. And the Anshei Knesset Gedolah stepped in, and they caught the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, knocked them out. Good. Gemara goes on to explain that once they were doing that, they went in for Arias as well. Didn't work out as well, so they basically let him go. So how could this be? Wait a second. They just got rid of the Yetzer Hara? So Soloveitchik explains, no. They changed it. Up until now, there's the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Why? Because anyone recognized God. And then the question is what? That was the Nekudas HaBechira. However, at this point they said, no, it's going to be different. Right now, in the world we live in, the major Western religions basically agree on the same God. Now, they might have a few more family members involved in it, but you know, by and large, the big man is the big man across the board. What is the issue now? The issue now is whether we see God. Atheism has replaced Avodah Zarah. If a person realizes that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a general agreement it's not Ralph the Lettucehead. However, what we have to do is we have to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, once the Nekudas HaBechira changed, of course, other things have to change. So in the first Beis HaMikdash, there were Nisim Gluyim. You'd be able to show up and see the Kruvim. Even though they were made out of metal, they were moving. Right? You saw the various lists. The Urim V'Tumim, you can talk to God, God will give you an answer. That wasn't the problem in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, because supernatural acts indicate that there's God. Great, we all knew there was God. Who is that supernatural force? That's what you need to work out. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and the Anshei Knesset Gedolah get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, you can't have miracles in the second Beis HaMikdash. Because miracle equals supernatural power equals God, Bechir is done. Similarly, if people would get up now and start speaking Lashon Hara and they broke out with some terrible rash, there'd be no way to explain it other than that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah is correct, and the Bechir would be out the window, and that would be a bad thing. So that's the idea of Rav Soloveitchik. And similarly, Rav Yaakov comes up and he says the same thing here. What happens? When Bnei Yisrael are going to cross the Yam Suf, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do beforehand? He brings a wind the whole night before to clear it out. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to have a wind? That people have the ability to say, it was just the wind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to leave open the possibility that people will deny that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly with the Makos. Power is not replaced by Dam. They can do it also. Par is not impressed by Tzarev Hardeya. They can do it also. When we get to Kedem, Par is still not impressed. Why? He's impressed that he's better. That you're a better magician than my magicians. But as I saw in the first two, that's all what you are. As long as I saw that the magicians did the first one and they did the second one, so you're better than them. Congratulations. Put you up on YouTube. That's all you're getting out of this, buddy. I'm not believing in any God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times has to keep this balance out there. So, and so too, we are now living in a time, and we've been living for a while in this time, where the Koach HaTorah is not what it used to be. You need to have a balance between the Koach HaTorah and the Koach HaTumah. And therefore, in a generation where there's a very strong Koach HaTorah, you can have this as well. But as the Koach HaTorah goes down, so too, by definition, the Koach HaTumah has to go down. It's interesting. Rabbi Yaakov ends with a fascinating point. He quotes that he heard from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who heard from the Chafetz Chaim as follows. There's a famous story of the Dybbuk of Radin. In Radin, they had a Dybbuk, and the Chafetz Chaim had to do an exorcism and get rid of the Dybbuk. So when that was done, the Chafetz Chaim turned to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Star Talmud, and said, I believe this is the last time this will ever happen in history. He says, because the door has gone so far down that the Koach HaTorah has lost so much power that the Koach HaTumah will not have the power to do this again either. And therefore, he said, this is the end of it. It's interesting, if Yaakov comments that this doesn't have to be across the board. There could be certain communities out there where the people are on a high enough spiritual level that the Koach HaTumah will have the same power in that community as well. He doesn't talk about the possibility of a talking fish. But I imagine that, if a community would have a talking fish, it would indicate that they're great Talmidei Chachamim and Oskim BaTorah. So that's the bottom line. And so the Rav Yaakov says, and that's the answer to the Rambam. He said the famous Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, in the fourth parak of Avodah Zarah, he says there's no such thing as Shadim. Everybody shrugs their shoulders. How could he deny it? How could he say there's no Shadim? Up and down the Torah, the Gemara, the Midrashim, everybody talks with Shadim. Makaris as long as my arm. How does he deny it? He said, that's the answer. The answer is that, yeah, in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Midrashim, in the time of the Chumash, there were Shadim. But by the time the Rambam came around, and by the time we're around here, they're not here anymore. That's the approach. It's interesting. So that's an approach I've always liked. The idea not to deny, but the fact we look around in the world, we don't see it now, doesn't mean that it never existed. No, nature changes, time changes, this changes as well. Other people have other approaches. I'll just mention, I remember this goes back over 20 years. At one point when Dr. Lamb was the president of YU, he became very concerned that the students don't understand the motto of Torah motto. Now, other universities don't worry about this. Yale has never had an issue that people understand what Urim V'Tumim are. But YU, for some reason, we have to worry about Torah Amada. So they set up a series of they had journals and lectures. So I think the first or the second ever Torah Amada lecture series was with Aaron Soloveitchik. And Rav Aaron spoke about Shadim. And Rav Aaron, as was his minhag, spoke at length. Hour and a half, 2.5 hours. And the big punchline at the end was that he thought that Shadim are germs. That's why there's so many more of them than us. They're so dangerous to us. Right? Therefore, we've got to wash our hands to get rid of them. He thought that these Shadim were germs. It says that a Shadim is making a guy go crazy. Yeah, because he's got a disease. It's a bacterial infection. That was Rav Aaron's opinion. It's an interesting idea. It works out for some of the Makaras, not as well for other Makaras. If that works for you, better. Good for you. Enjoy it. We still have Shadim. There they are. That's why you can't see them. They can go so quickly. Very good. But either way, I think the message we take from this is we should, on the one hand, you don't have to accept everything. On the other hand, we shouldn't poo-poo everything. There are a lot of things out there which probably have strong makaras. It could be they did exist at some point, and the fact that they don't exist now doesn't undermine the fact that there is such a thing. Any questions? Good. Yeah.
In terms of the idea of a shade, what's the idea of how they communicate? How do they? What's the postulate about how they communicate with human beings?
So if you want to go home today and try this on your own, how would you do that? You want a practicum? So the Quran actually has things that there are ways of gathering shaden. So the pasuk in Vayikra, Parakid Zayin or so, Yizbechu. What?
Well, Yizbechu Lasiru.
Oh, Yizbechu Lasiru Lasiru Mgoloa, right?
Hazim Zofma
is confusing with Hazinus. Right, so there the Gemara talks about that you should bring your kavanos, Takash Baruch, you shouldn't bring it to the Shadim. Right? Rashi says, Sirim, there are Shadim. So there seems to be this idea that Shadim gather around pools of blood. So the way that they do this, you get a pool of blood, and then you get a lot of Shadim with them, and then once you have the Shadim there, you know, you engage in the conversation, and at that point you can do whatever you can do. I don't know. I'm not really sure how it works.
Okay.
But those are the basic occurrences. Yes.
Well, my husband was nine. He threw his mother's Ouija board down the incinerator chute because he said she was communicating to Shayla. Now, how far do you have to go with this? fortune tellers at fairs and things.
Right. So the Sukkim and Pasha Shoftim tell us that Ma'onim, Menachish, Nechashe, that any supernatural black powers are also liable for the death penalty. That's a bad thing. So therefore a person should go probably pretty far to avoid it. Now, there's not an unrelated machlokas between the Rambam and others, whether there is such a thing as the dark forces. The Rambam not surprisingly denies it. Well, most people point to the idea that there is such an idea out there. So according to the Rambam, you're in real trouble. Because according to the other people, if a person successfully communicates with the dark side and sees the future and creates a golem, whatever you're going to do, then you're chayav misa. If you do anything less than that, it's just a really bad idea. According to the Rambam, since there is no ability to talk to the other side, etc., the mere attempting to do it is chayav misa, which is far more problematic. Either way, it's a bad idea. I would say so. You should probably go pretty far to avoid it.
So both this week and last week, if I could paraphrase what you're saying, whether it be Shadim or Gugulim, maybe yes.
Yeah.
Of course, for it.
Yeah, I'm waffling. That's correct.
Where is one allowed to draw the line in terms of read something?
You got to believe him. Ain't no doubt about it. That's it. Other things out there, you know. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, the Rangers going to win the world, the Stanley Cup. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's not fear of one or the other. It might be tipshits, but you know.
Does
Sam and
the
Shamas
have any connection, or
the
Shay
have any connection? Second cousins.
You're saying
you know, it's interesting. According to the sheet that's Arjus or Zeruah that they keep Torah and mitzvahs, so that really opens up a Pandora's box. So therefore, they have star ba'onesh. There's a shade on Haba. They have their own. They share with us. I don't know.
Yeah, if someone decides to accept the fact that there is Shainim, do Shainim have free will?
So yeah, according to that Zeruah, that you know they keep Torah and mitzvahs, so yeah, they have free will.
Are they bound by Torah mitzvahs or not? I mean, obviously they weren't.
Right, according to the Arzur, yeah, they're bound by Torah mitzvahs according to that. It's a very strange concept out there. You know, I kind of put it in the same category as extraterrestrial life. You know, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Either way, it hasn't affected me yet. You know, probably won't affect me. So if they're there, good for them. If not, good for them.
In the summer, if it's tough and we're down to 9 men.
I think I mentioned last week. Right? I mentioned last week the idea of whether you can count the golem for a minion, which is interesting because you know you ever go sometimes to the 6 o'clock minion, you have 10 golems. Right.
Even if they were keeping her presence, wouldn't it be like an issue because they're not part of Klal Yisrael?
So again, maybe they're probably not B'nai Noach either. Right, maybe B'nai Adam, Atam Kriyam Adam. Right, so again, I have enough trouble with keeping the people in line with the Torah and mitzvahs. So, you know, I don't know whether there was a matan Torah for Shadim. I don't know if they were just piggybacking other the mitzvahs, einu mitzvahs. I'm sure I could get a PhD out of writing about this, but I really have no idea what it is. That wouldn't stop me, though.
You had them. You don't have them. Where'd they go?
What?
What did
you say? I guess, again, the Shadim, the idea is that, assuming that the Shadim are somehow related to the Koach HaTumah, so they're hanging out wherever the Koach HaTumah hangs out. They don't come down here anymore.
Oh, so
what's their power?
They just went away.
Yeah.
They just left us.
They went the way of the dodo bird.
They went to Iraq.
Right? Endangered species.
Came back as mother.
I don't hear you mention the word Sutton at all. Is Shadim connected with Sutton at all, or what? Or are they two different concepts?
So there are two different concepts that may very well be related. Right? It could be that somehow the Shadim are doing the bidding of the Koach HaTumah. Right? Maybe working for Hugh, whose name we don't mention.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe working for Voldemort.
Yeah. They can only do evil things, right?
No, it's unclear about that. You know, it's not,
what would be the difference between them and a Malach if they can do good things also?
Okay, well, Malach clearly, I shouldn't even say that. We assume that Malachim do not have free will. They just do, God tells them to do something and they do it. That's the end of it for Malachim, right? As opposed to these Shadim, they seem to have free will. Right? They don't just do the bidding of God. If we ask them to do something, they'll do it as well. If not, they'll be doing whatever they're doing on their own.
They could do either good or
evil. Right. Again, you look at the Ramban, there's a difference with the Balachma just made out of wind, as opposed to these Shadim are made out of wind and fire. A question?
All right.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll bench in a minute.
Okay.
What is it?